Welcome to Artery with Isa Kavejia, a podcast on art, authorship, and anthropology. In each episode of this collaborative podcast, one anthropologist specializing in a particular cultural context has a conversation with an artist of their choosing, exploring issues of authorship and responsibility in art. In this episode, Kayla Rush, an anthropologist at Dublin City University, speaks with artist Bruna Lawson. I will now hand over to Kayla to introduce herself and Bruna.
So my name is Kayla Rush. I am an anthropologist of art and music. I previously did research on community arts in Northern Ireland, which is how I met Bruna Lawson, who I'm speaking with today. I've had the very great privilege to get to know Bruna, to collaborate with her on some work, and to get to see a lot of the different things that she does in her practice. So Bruna, could you give listeners an introduction to yourself and your work and your creative practice and what you do?
My background is I originally trained in textiles and fashion. I'm from Northern Ireland, was over in the States on a Fulbright, came back pre-ceasefire, and found that I wanted to do something else with my creativity. So I ended up spending 13 years setting up and running cross-community programs on interfaces in Belfast, and then kind of collapsed and couldn't do it anymore, couldn't process what was going on anymore, and found my way back into my artistic practice, which has gone through printmaking, performance, all sorts of different things. But how Kayla and I came to know each other was through some work that I was doing with Sue Ellen Semikoski, who's adjunct professor of art therapy in the School of Art Institute in Chicago. And we had met and we were doing these kind of interventions, which we figured out were using contemporary art underpinned with art therapy that would act as kind of healing mechanisms in contentious areas in Belfast and in Chicago.
So how did you, you've done a few projects that I find just fascinating. You've got your 10 years of visiting every church in Belfast that is culminated in this wonderful book that I finally got the chance to read this week, Belfast City of Light. You've done your really cool sort of printmaking residency called The Ebb and Flow of East Belfast, where you were, reading the daily papers from either side of the interface. And those are just the two that I know best. So what got you started on these particular types of projects that are very, very much about being in spaces and sort of experiencing places in Belfast?
So I think printmaking was my step back into artistic practice kind of professionally. I did a evening class in etching and then at the Belfast Print Workshop, and then it was like something new. And I just became really obsessed by it. Became the chair and of the workshop, and got really interested. I mean, printmaking is really difficult to do. People really specialize in certain areas and stuff. And I just wanted to learn something new with but I have all this creativity, but learning new process is a real treat. So when the first work that I started was very kind of picturesque. I come from a very beautiful part of Northern Ireland, Strangford Loch, although I don't live there anymore. So the first work that came out and me learning my process was all about Strangford Loch. It all was about the beauty, and it was all about just the beauty and the flow of the area and the beauty. And then I wasn't ready to look at anything else. But there was an exhibition that the print shop was doing with Cork printmakers, And it was about contemporary Irish identity. And I was really thinking about this, and I thought with all the experience that I had on Peace Lines and all of the work on interfaces, it's really hard. I mean, people are so bored of visual imagery to do with Northern Ireland. I mean, it's like, yada, 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 here we go again. You don't actually look at it anymore. But I was trying to think of a way of using etching as a way of, you know, how do you visually do something that kind of comments on this without just going, here we go again. So I did an etching, and it was called Chill Factor. And it was about, you know, going into an area and you kind of, you're picking up these signals and you're kind of going, oh, I shouldn't be here, or this is dangerous to me, or it's not as much prevalent now, but certainly, you know, historically it has been. These things are going away, and for different people it's different levels. But I did this piece about that, and it was kind of like a peace line in the middle of it, and different sides. You know, there were like fragments of different sides of the nationalist and the unionist sides, and you just had to look at and kind of, you know, it's about having a reaction to it. And it was in the exhibition in Belfast, and I was in the gallery, and I was watching. You know, you watch people. It's interesting to see people's reactions to work and then your own work. And somebody just kind of looked around and went, oh, that's about here. I'm not looking at it. And I thought, oh, I'm not quite there. You know, that's a bit odd. And then it was in Cork, and there was a review of it in Cork in the Sunday Times. And the reviewer had said, isn't it a pity that some of the artists in Northern Ireland are harping on about the same thing? And I just kind of thought, you know, you've obviously not been to Belfast recently, have you? Yeah. And, you know, it's that boredom that we have with things that we don't look at them anymore. So that experience took me to trying to think of, is there a way that you can make something really beautiful and really, like, you're really drawn to it because it's, like, really gorgeous? You know, when you see a piece of art and it's really gorgeous, but then there are these underlying things in it. So you're almost, like, drawing people in with a false sense of, oh, look at all the beautiful colours, and here's green, and here's this, that, whatever. And then you look and you go, holy fuck, you know, there's the bomb squads in there or something. So it was about making something beautiful, but then having these underlying factors in it. So that kind of was my starting point for the Ebb and Flow of East Belfast series. I had a studio on the interface in East Belfast between the Republican Short Strand and the Loyalist Newton Orange Road. And I'd been in it about 4 or 5 months. And, you know, I have a lot of experience of working in these areas. But it took me that period of time to try and think about how do you make a piece of art about this? It's not really boring and awful. And I didn't really, it was just like a thread that I was starting, and I had no idea about where it was kind of going to go. So what I would do is, I started on my birthday, 29th of October. I would buy all the newspapers on the Unionist Short Strand, the news agents there, on that day, and then I would go into the Short Strand, which is the Republican area, and I'd buy all the newspapers there. Because our media is so fractured, people don't really buy the same newspapers. So, and then I wouldn't buy any newspapers on any other day, and then I would go through them and like pick fragments out of them, and do an etching scene of somewhere, either round East Belfast where the my studio was, or if my head was in Strangford Lock, sometimes I'd been there, but my head was still in like, oh, the beautiful water and the scenes and stuff. So wherever I was, and then I would make a series of etchings based on that day's news and those scenes. So the very first one I did, the deal was where I had my studio was that they would give it to me for free, but I would give them some art. Mm-hmm. So the very first series I did of etchings, which is a very kind of, it's a very hard, long physical process. And then you have to wait for them to dry. And I brought them in to my studio and I got the gallery or the building manager to come. I says, come and have a look at what I've done. And then you can see, you know, if there's any of these that would do. And I laid them all out on the floor. There were about eight. And I just started to laugh. Because, and he looked at me and I looked at him and he said, and I says, well, what do you think? And he didn't want to insult me, but he wasn't sure, you know, what in order to say. But I says, how do you feel when looking at them? But he still wasn't sure, this thing about wasn't sure. But what had happened was there were the same scene of the area, but you looked at one and it seemed very unionist, and you looked at the other one and it seemed very Republican, and you looked at the other one and it seemed really racist, and you looked at the other one and it seemed really sexist, and you looked at the other one. But what was happening was, because you're using all the fragments of the news, and they were on the scenes, you were getting these signals about the piece, and then it was like messing with your mind, because you kind of go, it's the same image, it's the same like landscape or whatever, but I feel differently looking. So it was kind of like, he said, I can't put any of these up. And I was like, I know. I just started to laugh because, you know, and this is what is in our newspapers. You know, this is our daily diet this is poured into the papers. But yet, because of our rules in Northern Ireland about not having emblems and symbols, contentious symbols and emblems or whatever at work, you couldn't put them on the wall as a piece of art, but you could have it as a newspaper. So I did that over a period of 2.5 years, and it just got crazier and kind of crazier in it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that answers your question, but yes, you're saying a starting point. I suppose sometimes it's the finishing point with me. I just kept doing it and kept doing it. And then at a point, I kind of just knew it had stopped. I knew I didn't have to do it anymore. And that was a piece. And that was a piece. I remember the date. It was the royal wedding of, now my brains, Catherine, and it was the royal wedding. That was the date the papers were. Oh, that's a really good one. And yeah. I had been looking around the area. There is a Catholic church just across the road on the other side of the interface. And there's lots and lots of memorials and lots of things around the area. And I was trying to get my head around what had happened. And I did this piece that it was called From This Steeple I Shoot Dead Innocent / Defend My Community. Because what had happened was people had gone up the steeple and they'd shot dead people. They got up the steeple of the Catholic Church and they'd shot dead people in the bottom of the Newton Orange Road. Mm-hmm. And on one side they say, these people were shot in cold blood. And on the other side, they kind of go, we're defending our community and this is what this happened. So it's that we've got this constant, you know, thing. And for me, that seemed like that was that was my last print in that kind of series. Mm-hmm. I thought, no, I'm kind of done now with this.
Yeah. Yes, it's kind of like following a thread, and you sort of just follow it until you reach a natural end. Is that right?
Yeah, you just keep following it, and at some point you go, no, this is over. I've done this. Mm-hmm. So I never start out thinking, oh, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do, you know, and this is what's going to going to be the final thing. It's just like, oh, well, let's go down here and then see what comes up.
So one of the things that I really love about your art is that your process reminds me a lot of how I do research. It's a lot of like spending time in place, trying to sort of figure out what's going on there, getting the vibe of a set of practices or something like that. What do you draw a line between like research and art? You know, is there one point where the art stops and the rest is sort of something you're doing in the background, or is it all art? What way to talk about?
Yeah, you were saying about what is the going to the church is art.
Yeah.
I think it's not. I think that's the research kind of part of it. And the art part for me is what comes out of it.
Okay.
Then what you kind of produce as a result kind of it.
Yes. So how do you then go about this process of translating experience and embodied knowledge, if you will, you know, things that you've learned through these practices of repetition? How do you translate that into art?
Well, good question. So the first piece I think I did from all my church visits was for the Four Corners Festival,
mm-hmm.
Which is the festival between a number of the church communities throughout the city. And so my church visit thing is like I was going to every church for a service in Belfast. And as I was starting to do it, I was thinking, oh, how do you document this? What do you do? And I thought, well, I'm just gonna, I have loads and loads of books, and I would write up what had happened. If anybody gave me anything, I would take that. And I started to take photographs as well after the service. So that's what I was doing, but I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do with them. And then I wanted to do something. And so with the Four Corners, I had offered to, I says, look, I will curate an exhibition for you of artists who are using religion or spirituality in their work. You know, for the festival, which took me about a month to do.
Mm-hmm.
I will do a piece of art as well. So, but I says, I will do this and I will do this for free, but can you pay for a bus for me? Because part of the thing is about people are not used to being in certain areas around the city, and I would like to get people into different churches and have some kind of art piece in it, but you know, they need to get from A to B, and that would be part of the thing. So they agreed that they would do that and then helped me get four churches in parts of the city, and I wasn't too sure what actually I was really going to do with them, but I spent a lot of time looking at all the documentation I have, and then visiting some of the churches I had already visited for service and other ones not, and sort of like visiting the churches. I just came up with the idea that I would like install an installation in part of the church. Most of them had spaces where a lot of people didn't go, like a little kind of chapel space or a little side space of a number of pews that people weren't using. So I said, if you give me this space, then I will put something. I had to figure out what I was going to do in it. So once I figured out that there was a similar kind of size of space in different places, what I did was I used all the, I got all the paper from all of the, you know, like leaflets or orders of service and all of these things that I had. And I had them all out in timeline of what, how I had attended things. And then what I would do is I string them all together, like a red line of ribbon and a purple line of ribbon, kind of thinking, well, there's this red thread that's going through all these things. You know, somebody would ask me, says, they're all supposed to be about the same thing. It's all supposed to be about God, you know, it's just like a multiple of different things. So I thought, well, there's this kind of thread that's going through it. And then I had some of the photographs and things. And then what I would do is I kind of installed them in these kind of chapel areas, mm-hmm. and put some mirrors in them and stuff as well. But it would kind of like really freak you. It freaked people out because we're not used to, where people are not, or maybe used to, like, if they have been in another denomination from the one that, if you're my age in Northern Ireland, everybody has been brought up in a religion, right? Some of the younger generations, that isn't the case anymore. But if you're my age, you were. So you have certain ideas about what that is. You may have been, you know, to somebody else's church for a wedding or a funeral or, you know, whatever it happens to be. And there are people who move around denominations, but in reality, there are certain things that you have in your mind. So if you're trying to get people who have in your mind a very certain way that this is what church is, and then they go somewhere else, you're kind of going, no, this is what church is. It kind of messes. I kind of wanted to mess it with people's minds, really, as well as the congregations.
Yeah.
Kind of go, well, what is this? What is this in our, what's this? It's like somebody said, what's this mess in our church? It's like, well, these are all the other people who believe that they're totally right. And this is what they have. And this is kind of part of the here. So it kind of messed with people's minds.
Yeah. I love that you also, you took this imagery that you've been talking about where you're following a thread and you literally created that in art, and you took your mental process and your journey you'd been on and created a very specific visual representation of it, linking all these other things that you wanted to put on display. I think that's really...
Yeah. Yeah. So the four different ones were in four different churches, and I called it Corners of the Circle. Mm-hmm. And then, like, one of my, I would try and get people to come. There was a performative tour around it. It got everybody on the bus, and then kind of did it performance wise. They didn't really know what they were going for, and that I would take them to the different places. But like some people, that was too much for some people. And somebody said, one of my neighbors said, oh, but there's no corners in a circle. And you're going, well, yeah, kind of, that's the point. Or, oh, no. Oh, yes. Oh, I have been to one Presbyterian church in my life, and therefore I don't have to look any deeper into this. Or, oh, yes, when I was 16, I went to a Catholic church, or whatever it happened to be. But you just kind of go, look, just, here's a way into this. Just come and have a look, you know?
Yeah. So as I've told you, the podcast series is about authorship in art. I'm kind of curious, how do you feel about this term authorship? And do you feel that it appropriately or accurately describes your relationship to these different types of artworks that you've been making?
Well, I was looking at that, I'm thinking, yeah, you're kind of saying, well, somebody did this. You're you're the author of it. Somebody did this. And I recently applied for something, for some support for what I do. And I didn't get it. And one of the feedbacks was, oh, we don't support art that is healing.
Really?
Right. Okay, it was Belfast City Council. Okay. you know, where do you go with, where kind of, where do you go with that? With one of the most traumatized cities in your, you know, where do you go with that? Mm-hmm. And I was talking about it with somebody, and I was talking about, you know, kind of explaining, you know, all the things that happened. There's so many things that happened down the bottom of the New Norge Road, because I walked in a church, and then when I walked out, I had said, yeah, I'm going to take it over. I'm going to do this for nothing. I'm going to install all this artwork in it. I'm going to have all these events. And all this kind of magic has happened, and it's completely transformed the area. But as somebody said to me, what you do is invisible. Mm. People don't understand it, because it's invisible, because you're not on somebody's Excel spreadsheet. Yet I know if I hadn't lobbied, say, for the East Belfast Festival to happen in the first place, spent 7 months of my life developing something for the first festival, which Sue Ellen came over for, which all of these things happen from, you know, that was just a starting point.
Yeah.
If I hadn't have done that as an author, these things would not have happened. Mm-hmm. However, so part of my work is opening up the door for others. Yet, when the others scurry in, they kind of go, oh no, we don't want you anymore. You weren't, what do you mean you weren't? You didn't do anything. Kind of thing. So it's, you know, you have to go with the thing of saying, well, I, you know, it's kind of, you know, I have, you know, I spent years working on cross community things. This is, you know, this is way beyond, this is in my heart, mm-hmm. of what I believe. So you just have to like go beyond all that, but you know that, it can be frustrating, because you kind of go, well, yeah, this is what I did, or this is what this is. And there, you know, so many other people or may have benefited from it, yet you can't get support for doing it, because they're going, well, you don't do anything.
Yeah. So it's almost like they want you to do it. You know, it's funders and other artists obviously benefit from you doing this work. And I've seen this firsthand, how they've benefited from you working in that space. But because your approach to authorship maybe doesn't fit that kind of very specific box of like name in the corner of a painting.
Yeah.
It's a little bit off the radar. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, no, totally. And even when you... I had an instance recently of something that I'd initiated with another artist who's much more well known. Mm-hmm. Really, it came out of a conversation that we had, and it's during lockdown, and it's been really, really successful. And I found it really interesting as time went on, how my name kind of disappeared from it. Not from the other artist, because, you know, they're not them, but other people around. It was like, oh, no, that was him. And she's like, no. And then we did a big event, a number of events last weekend, 3 days of things. And I looked at all the information and all it was written down, stuff, whatever. And I was like, oh, look, I've disappeared again. You know, this is all somebody else's work. Mm-hmm. I think particularly when you're a woman as well, mm-hmm. that kind of disappears. And I had to ask, I says, actually, that's not how this originated. My name is missing from that.
Mm-hmm. So there's still this very gendered perception of authorship as well, where...
Yeah, no, totally, totally.
Yeah. Mm. So what about, you have a very strong kind of performance element through a lot of your work as well, with these kind of meditative healing, walking things that you've done in different areas, which are wonderful events and have been very meaningful for a lot of people. Is that so? Does that fall under this umbrella of authorship as well, since you were the one initiating or co-initiating? Or is that different because it's just a different way of moving?
No, I think that is under authorship as well, because it has to, you have to think of it. I mean, to me, that's the author thing, is you have to think of it.
Mm, yeah.
You know, somebody has to think of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they, so therefore they are the author. Now you can sit and think of something, and then other people go, oh yeah, that's a good idea, and I'll do it.
Yeah.
But the no, those things are kind of part, you know, are authored on that. Like the first time that we did the walk, you know, the performative walk, I couldn't have done that without Sue Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a mash of her, all of her experience and her meditative practice, and how we met was, yeah, for her walking meditation as a healing mechanism. So it was all of that, but then it was all this mess of political locality that was my thing. And then it was like, how do we kind of bring this together to act as something that's just like, that encourages people here into this space at this particular time, and then we just see what happens. So I wouldn't have thought of that on my own.
Mm-hmm.
It was really me and Sue Ellen, because my energy hadn't settled down at that point. Mm-hmm. She was much calmer than me and has that experience of that practice. So I was still like, I was still working through parts of stuff. So yeah, that is, you have to think of it. You have to be able to think of it. And sometimes you can work with people and then you kind of go, oh, actually, why don't we do this? Or, you know, you could do that. Or so you have to think of it, and then somebody else, working with somebody else, can like bring it on, can bring it further. But yeah, it is an authorship thing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So a lot of your art, at least the art that I've seen, is very relational. Like it grows out of either your relationship to place, or especially with you visiting the churches, out of interacting with other people and being around other people. Is this may not be an easy ask, but can you describe for me and for people listening, what role do other people play in your creative process? Because you're not an artist who shut yourself away in like an attic space to create in the dark by yourself, right? You're an artist who's creating out of experiences you're having in community.
Well, I think is part of the process for an artist that isn't over until somebody actually sees what you're doing.
Mm, yeah.
You know, I'm always making and creating and doing and stuff, and the issue is there's not always the opportunity in the space or the time, whatever, in order to show half of what it is you're actually doing and how to, but so that thing of having other people see it and experience it or be in it as the four parts of it, be in it or be taken along with it, for me, yeah, is important, because, well, for like the, when I was doing the, when we were doing the still bunker stuff of taking over the churches and then including all the artists,
mm-hmm,
and things and stuff, you were amplifying what was going on. There's a certain energy that you can bring to a space simply by being there, and, you know, installing work and doing stuff. Artists change things that are in and around them simply by their interaction. So to get people, like before I did the church stuff, I installed this exhibition in the bottom of the a few years before, in the bottom of the City East building where I had my studio, and the building was kind of more or less empty. And I had artists right the way through the ground floor. And we had like a, they thought maybe 10 people would turn up, 250 old people turned up.
Right.
You know, to look at it and to be there, kind of going, oh, is this a peaceline? So you're taking other people with you. I have had so much experience of working on all the peace lines and everything, and that I realize as an artist that is a real privilege, and actually there's very few people who have done that. I have sat in those buildings while they're rioting outside, trying to figure out how I'm getting home, or with somebody phoning me up asking for a report. You know, that is an experience not a lot of artists have had. So I kind of, yeah, other people are part of that, of kind of gathering them into that and helping. We need, I think, in Northern Ireland, north of Ireland, whatever you want to say, we need doorways into, we need doorways into kind of looking at this in a different way, rather than maybe following the media's way of, oh, we're all fighting with each other and everything's going to hell, you know.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And it leads very well into kind of the next set of questions I had, which are around responsibility, which may or may not be the best word for it. But do you feel that artists have a responsibility, whether it's to their community or to these particular places they work in, or even to themselves or to yourself as an artist?
I think, you know, there's lots of different artists who work at different levels on the different things. It's really hard, you know, if you don't keep your responsibility to yourself and your artistic kind of practice, everything can just go really flat really quickly. You can just be like doing the same. You're not producing anything new. You're just doing the same thing. And it's really hard. But yeah, you have a responsibility. It's hard to go to the places. Well, I always think it's the interesting part when you, like, often I like do something and it might be like 2 years later that I fully understand what was kind of going on.
Yeah.
But you're just kind of following a pulse, following a thread, and kind of going, oh, what's going on here? And why do I feel like this going here? And why does this annoy me? Why do I feel like somebody's going to shoot me in the head if I walk down this road? I mean, where does that come from? Mm-hmm. Or why do I? So Sue Ellen would say that, you know, I would just kind of go for it. And because she is, you know, her space is as an adjunct professor of art therapy, she's much more tuned into people's reactions to things and what is actually going on and whatever, and your responsibility to everybody involved. So we've had some very interesting kind of conversations and stuff around that. So yeah, you do. But, you know, that's a pure artist thing. It's like you're just doing it. Everything else is what people's kind of reaction. So, but I think you do have responsibility.
And does the art you create have kind of a separate responsibility in and of itself? Or is that making a kind of needless separation between the artwork and the person who made it, or the author of it?
Well, so I think I can answer that question in something. So these, all this documentation that I've done around the art pieces, around the churches, about 3 years in, I was talking to somebody and they went, oh, I can imagine how that would be really useful for the university to have that as a research project. And we could have the people be all really interested all around the world to do whatever. And I'm like, this is a piece of art. And it was like, oh, but, and then somebody else said, no. And I'm like, this is a piece of art. This is a piece of art. This is not for you to hide away in an archive somewhere or to use. Well, that's entirely up to them. I don't know. It's like, no, this is art. This is a piece of art. This is how it exists. And this is how, like you would a sculpture or a painting or whatever it is. This is how it is. This is how it should be installed. This is how it can be documented. I don't want somebody picking through it and going, oh yeah, we're going to order it. We're going to sort it out. And it's going to be like this. It'd be like, to me, it's like, it would be like taking down a painting and then scraping all the paint off it, the canvas, and then putting it in wee boxes and say, look what we've done. Does that make sense? So I feel a responsibility for all the work and thought process and everything that went into making the art. Mm. I feel a responsibility to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That makes sense.
It does. It's a brilliant description. I think it's fascinating that you had such a strong reaction to that, but I also understand it because you're right, your artwork doesn't work as artwork if it gets sorted away into an archive. It's not art anymore. It's and to me at least, it loses the sense I have looking at your art if it gets packed away neatly, because the fact that it's not packed away neatly is part of the point. Is that fair?
Yeah.
I actually remember speaking with one of the ministers whose church you installed that installation in the corners of the circle. And they were telling me how their congregants would sort of like neatly pick up the papers that were on the floor and like set them in a straight little line on the pews. And the minister would have to come by and like put them back on the floor. And it was like this, not a war, like it wasn't that combative. But
I think that's really cool.
It was a really, really interesting experience how she was talking about this sort of ongoing back and forth of like tidying up your artwork and then making it untidy again.
Yeah.
Fascinating human interaction with your artwork, like that clearly it made people feel a certain way.
Yeah.
And that they interacted with it physically, which is great, you know?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. That's that thing of what's hanging around churches.
Mm, yeah.
What, it's like, oh, what's that doing there?
Yeah.
I think.
So final question I have for you is what is next for Brona Lawson? What are you getting excited about now? Because you've published the book, which I know is not kind of the end of your journey with Belfast's churches, but it's sort of a nice bookend to that project. So what's getting you excited now?
Well, the idea of writing the book and not focusing on the visual things was to kind of make it into something that people could like look, read. Although I do write, visual is my first language. So I have been working on a photo book.
Okay.
And actually that's what I was doing this morning before I was talking to you. I have been working on it on and off for a year, really. Mm-hmm. Taking, well, over a year. I don't know. I've kind of lost track. So I am at the final stages of that now. Mm-hmm. And I hope that will be ready to come out before Christmas. in November. It's supposed to, but, you know, anything can happen at the moment. So I'm really interested in saying that, because when I did the book, some people said, oh, there's no images. And I'm like, have you any idea how difficult it was to get the book to this stage? Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't have coped with doing the images at the same time. It's too big. It's too massive a thing.
Yes.
Process. I needed to get the written thing out, and then I could work on the visual one. So I'm really kind of interested about that. I'm interested that my old art college in Winchester School of Art are interested in doing something. It's because of all the stuff around Brexit and Ireland and Northern Ireland and this, that, and whatever, and the lack of understanding within the UK, really, about here. Yeah. I think I've got a kind of unique kind of take on things, considering that I went to college in the south of England during the Troubles, and then to the States, and then back again. So I have a wider perspective, but then a localized perspective about Northern Ireland. So I'm really interested. They're interested in doing something. I'm really interested in that. The difficulty I have is I'm not an employee of anybody. I don't work for a college. I just kind of do this. Mm-hmm. So I have to, you know, you have to work out the balance of figuring out how do you actually manage to do that? Is the issue. But artists have often had that issue, and there's always a way around it, I think, somehow.
Yeah.
But I'd be interested in that. My idea, just one of my ideas, saying that when I was doing the book, is that I was wanted to. Unfortunately, I just launched it just at the beginning of the pandemic. So I did about 3 or 4 talks, and then I just had to stop. But originally my idea was I was going to visit places, particularly when I'm saying over in the UK, or cities or places that had been blown up.
Right, yeah.
Significant bombs by the IRA or whatever. And deliver a talk or do a talk kind of there. And I did get invited over to, but then I just had to stop it. So it was about offering a different conversation or a conversation or something, a different way. Just saying, well, look, this is what I did and this is what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's an element of kind of place memory there as well.
Yeah.
Places that have these memories of violence that are tied to memories of violence in Northern Ireland and in Belfast.
Yeah.
So there's, to use your words, there's kind of an interesting thread linking them as well.
Yeah, no, totally. And when I did do a talk in Dublin and in the Irish Architectural Society, and the first question I got, which I thought was very interesting, was, did you find any ministers waving a Union Jack and slagging off the Pope in your visits? And I had to say no. Mm-hmm. And I went, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, I'm positive. So I was very aware that there's a certain perception of Northern Ireland, the north of Ireland, and you know, that you know, there are alternative ways of looking at things. So, and as well, there are people who don't want to look at it any other differently, kind of go, well, no, that's this box, and Northern Ireland's like this, mm-hmm. Ireland's this, and that's where it'll kind of stay, and I don't want to look at it any differently, because then that means I'm people feel threatened by that.
Yeah.
If they have a certain narrative and you're challenging that. Mm-hmm. Some people don't like it. And other people do.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really interested, but I love answering questions. I love answering questions and being asked questions about it, because it's such a specific niche of knowledge.
This was Artery with Isa Caveggia, a podcast on art, authorship and anthropology, supported by the UK Arts and Humanities Research Council. Hope to speak with you again soon.